give up on victory. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, the Jesus response. And this is perhaps one of the most familiar stories in the life of Christ. And I just want to read two verses right now to put us in the context of the story. And we'll be looking at other parts of the story as we minister this morning. God bless you. Don't forget our service tonight. Come early to pray, 6:30 prayer meeting, our evening worship service at 7. This week, prayer meeting on Tuesday morning. Then don't forget, this is our glow-in-the-dark week, 6:30 on Wednesday and 6:30 on Thursday. And the Wednesday night is outreach night. We send out the buses and vans and try to reach those in our area. And then on Thursday night is our friend and family night. That doesn't mean you can't come both nights. We want you to. Amen. Be here. And those that have friends coming, you can invite them to come Thursday night just because there'll be more room. It'll be more distributed. And we're looking forward to a time, not only a good time, but we're looking forward to where God touches these young hearts and lives. Can you say amen? And then Saturday morning is Senior Saints Breakfast. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? You'll know the story. You've already looked down and saw it in the verses. But when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." The Jesus response. I want to preach this morning that Jesus releases power to faith. Jesus releases power to faith. Power goes to faith. Power, his power, goes to faith. As we pray over the message this morning, I'd like for us to remember Sister Brock in prayer. There's others I know, but this some crises, and we just want to remember Sister Brock in prayer. And also, from our website, we had a man call in from St. Louis today, called the church. He said, "Please pray for me and my family." And here's, and I quote, he said, "We need to get the junk out of our lives." And I thought that'd be a good prayer for a lot of folks to pray. Lord, help me get the junk out of my life. Amen. Let's pray together, could we? Remember these in the sermon today. Father, Lord, minister to Brother Brock right now. Lord, strengthen him, empower him. Lord, you're able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. Father, I pray that your touch would be upon Sister Brock right now as we pray. Lord, this man and his family, God, in St. Louis, Lord, that you would touch them and help them, Lord, and help their hearts to turn wholly and completely to you, Lord. Help them to find you gracious and near, Lord, we pray. God, anoint the preaching of the word. May this service end, Lord, with eternal things happening in people's hearts and lives, folks receiving help. Lord, we thank you for these things. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Jesus releases power to faith. Prayer meetings on Tuesday morning. We got a great crowd now. Years ago, we had a set of older folks from a certain time period. And I tell you what. We had revivals, and I'm sure they still do, but we just had revival-like moves of God in the prayer room. Brother Linderman was leading the prayer meeting, and it came to the end when he's praying for folks, and he was in high G, we used to say, and he's praying for folks. And Sister Linderman was standing slightly behind him, and so he's laying his hands on people. He's praying for them. God is moving. Sister Linderman's got her eyes shut, and she's standing behind him just praising the Lord. And he had just prayed, Brother Linderman had just prayed for somebody, and he lifted up his hand to move to someone else, and when he lifted up his hand back like this, the back of his hand, of course she didn't know it, her eyes were closed, the back of his hand touched Sister Linderman, right there on the head, and she went, And I got tickled. I thought he's got power on the forehand and he's got power on the backhand. I wish I had that gift. But see, Sister Linderman, she believed in the power of God. She believed the power of God was at work. And just a touch, just that contact, set her going. Nobody had to tell her any different. It was a fact. Contact. He hadn't meant to pray for her, but contact had been made. Amen. I said amen. And you know, that reminded me of this lady we're going to talk about. This lady just touched just the edge. Just the edge of Jesus' robe, and power arced. I said power arced from Christ up her finger into her body and went straight to her knee. Hallelujah. I said power left the hem of Jesus' garment, went up that lady's arm, and went straight to her knee. What made that happen? Well, you say, well, Jesus had the power. Yes, that is true. Jesus had the power. But there was something else in the equation. The woman had the faith that she would receive from Jesus if she would just reach out to him. I believe nothing has changed since that lady's time. I believe that even today, this morning, if we would reach out to Jesus with faith, we could touch him and the response would be power rushing into our lives straight to our need. Do you have a need this morning? You can reach out and touch him and his power will respond to your faith and come into your life. Hallelujah. We've been looking in this series of sermons, first of all, at the human need. Verse 25, it says that a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, for 12 long years, to put it delicately or discreetly, this woman had a specific disease that caused her to hemorrhage 24/7. She's constantly losing blood. She is hemorrhaging blood from her body. In today's terms, that means she was anemic. She was weak from the loss of blood. She was fatigued. And when a person is constantly anemic, their organs begin to have problems because the organs are starved from oxygen. And the heart begins to have problems because it has to beat harder to try to get the oxygen in the little remaining blood throughout the body. Let me just put it in very simple terms what this need was of this lady. She had a need that was draining her body. I said her need drained her body of strength, drained her body of life flow, drained her body with energy. But I want to talk this morning that there are many, even in this church, in the sound of this preaching, you have a need that is draining you. It's draining life out of you. It's draining joy out of you. It's draining spiritual vitality out of you. Amen. I don't know what that need is. But if you were honest, there's something that is draining your life from the things of God. Even some are here, it's physical. For others, it's emotional. For others, it's mental. For others, it's spiritual. But whatever it is, the need is draining you. What a need. Look at verse 26. She had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Amen. Her need, because of her need, she was hurt. She had suffered many things of many physicians. Now, when Luke relates his story, being a physician, he notes that she'd been to many physicians, but he didn't say that she suffered from many physicians. That's because that's his colleagues. But the truth of the matter is, their treatments, their ways did not healed. They hurt her. Amen. I think, you know, particularly in those days, once they got somebody in the loop, they're going to keep them in the loop, you know. They're going to keep doing things, trying things, because once you're in the loop, you get the payment. And they kept her in the loop until they drained her bank account. She had no money left. What I want you to see this morning is because because of her need. She was hurt. Her body was hurting. Her family was hurting. Her bank account was hurting. Even it went beyond that. Her heart was hurting. You say, how was her heart hurting? Because if you're a Bible student, you know that to hemorrhage blood banned you from the temple. To hemorrhage blood, it banned you from the house of God. It banned you from being in the community of your friends. 12 years she'd never been to a family reunion. 12 years she'd never been to a fellowship. 12 years she'd never been to the temple to worship. She had a disease that, like sin, banned her from the presence of God. She couldn't go to church. Her money is gone. Even she was hurting. I want to say this morning, I believe that even in the house, there are people that are hurting. It's not a physician that's hurt you or ill-treated you. It might have been a friend. It might have been a family member. It might have been a church brother or sister. Not the physicians, but you're hurting. And because of your need, you feel isolated from God. Your life is draining you, and spiritually you hurt all over. I'm telling you, that woman had a need. Not did it cause her to hurt, but because of her need, she was helpless. She had spent all that she had. She had drained her resources, and money could not help. Doctors could not help. And now she's out of options. She's out of resources. Amen. She has nothing that she can find help from. Amen. A hemorrhaging of blood, as I mentioned, was a type of sin that banned from God's presence. Amen. And just like with her need, she was helpless to heal herself and to solve her need. I want to tell you, it's the same with sin. If you only realize that man's greatest need is sin, but like her disease, if you got a sin problem, you can't help yourself. Another man can't help you. A family member can't help you. A psychologist can't help you. A government official can't help you. If you've got a problem with sin, you are helpless, just like this lady. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not going to preach how you get help, but I'm saying in yourself, you are helpless. She was hurting. She was helpless, but she was also hopeless. Look at her condition. It didn't get better. It got worse. Have you ever been there when things weren't getting better? They were getting worse. Even not only were you helpless, but being out of options like this lady, you had no hope of ever being cured. You had no hope that things would ever get better. And in fact, I no doubt she had come to the point that she resigned herself. She wasn't going to get better. She was getting worse. She would just have this condition until she died. She'd just live a few more days. She'd die. I'm telling you, it's bad to be without hope. And many folks like this lady have come to the place they have no hope. They've tried everything this world has to offer. They've tried every bit of homespun wisdom. They've tried every supposed remedy. And things are getting worse. They've been this way a long time. They're out of resources. They're out of options. And they've come to the point, my need is hopeless. I've just got to live this way until I die. That's where this lady was. That was her need. I want us to consider, as we have been, the usual and probable response. Now, there's somebody that I didn't read about we have to consider in this story. Because this story did not begin with this lady. Let me just tell you up front. This lady was an interruption. Because Jairus, an official, had come to Jesus and said, my daughter is at home taking her last breaths. Would you come and heal my daughter? And he was excited to hear Jesus said, I'll come heal her. Can you imagine that father filled with anxiety, his dying daughter? But now he's got Jesus. Now he's got the healer. And they're on the way to his house. His daughter's going to get well when the healer gets in. Here we go. And Jairus is walking down the road. And all of a sudden he realizes something. Jesus isn't with him any longer. And he looks back and Jesus is way back down the road, turned around, talking to a lady. I think the first response we need to think about is Jairus's. Don't you think he was thinking to himself, why is Jesus stopping and talking to that lady? Or maybe he said this, why is that lady stopping Jesus? He's on the way to my house to meet my need so my daughter doesn't have to die. Why is he stopping? Why is he waiting? My daughter's dying and this lady is slowing us up. Don't you think Jairus had those thoughts? Have you ever been there wondering why God was meeting everybody else's need except yours? Come on, let's be honest this morning. How many's been there with Jairus? You're wondering why Jesus is meeting everybody else's need except yours. That's what Jairus was thinking. He's meeting all these other needs, but he's not meeting mine. Amen. What about the people? Well, the people that knew her were thinking this. What is she doing? She's too sick to be out here on the street. She should have come to church. She's going to spread what she has. Is that what they're thinking? Others who knew her condition was thinking, you know, she knows better than that. She's not to be around the community. She's not to be around the crowd. She's been sick, and others were thinking she's been sick too long. Why is she coming to Jesus? There's no hope from her. And I believe some of them, knowing what she had, they were the only ones in that crowd that started to draw back from her, scratching their head. What's she doing out here? What about the people that didn't know Jesus? Amen. I think they were wondering about, what is this lady doing pulling on my sleeve, trying to move me? I mean, here they're gathered around Christ in a throng, and they're trying to hear what Jesus said, and they're thronging around, and here's this lady pulling on their coat, trying to get by, pushing them, trying to, oh, man, what is she doing? I mean, goodness, come to church and somebody's sitting in your seat. What are they doing? Make a monthly trip to the altar and you get down there and somebody's praying in your spot. What is this lady doing? And they were getting upset at her. In other words, I think those people responded, said, you know, she's really pesky. She is a nuisance. What about the lady herself? Well, the thing is, she wasn't responding to her need as much as she was responding to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. There's a truth there this morning. I said, there's a truth this morning. If we quit responding just to our need and start responding to the one who can meet the need. Let's look at verse 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now you've got to think for a moment. She had given up hope. She was getting worse. She had resigned herself to the inevitable of growing weaker and weaker until she died. But then she heard about Jesus. I said she was hopeless, but then she heard about Jesus. I want to tell you, all around us, there are folks that are hopeless. They've given up hope. This is just the way it's going to be. I've got these problems. I got these sin. I got this guilt. I got the trouble. It's just going to be that way till I die. But then, amen, if they could just hear from us, hear about Jesus. Oh, what did she hear? She heard that the man with the withered hand, he's got two good hands now. She heard about that demoniac that Jesus just cast the demons out. He was a hopeless case too. But when Jesus left, he was clothed and in his right mind. She heard about Peter's mother-in-law with that fever. Jesus walked in, the fever's gone. Oh, she began to hear these stories of the healing power. She heard about a leper. That's an impossible, hopeless case too. But Jesus touched the leper and the leper. Oh, she heard about Jesus. All of a sudden, there's hope. There's light. There's a reason to get out of bed. There's a reason to walk through the door. There's a reason to walk down the street. Why? Because she heard about Jesus. How many's glad for the day you heard about Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. It's important that we realize many would turn to Jesus if they would hear about him. Hearing about Jesus, her faith began to rise and she determined to go to him. She said, I'll not lie here and die. I will go to this Jesus. And in her weakened state, she got up off of that bed into the streets and forced her way through the crowd. She knew she wasn't to be in the crowd. She knew she was considered unclean and wasn't to be touching people. But in faith, something was driving her. She said, if I could just touch this man I've heard about, if I could just touch some part of his robe, I believe I could be healed. And you know, you can't see it necessarily in the English tense, but in the Greek tense, it says that she didn't just say this one time and get out of bed. In the Greek, it implies that she kept saying it over and over. She begins to get out of bed. If I could just touch him, I'd be whole. Amen. She got dressed. If I could just touch him, I'd be whole. She walked out the door. If I could just touch him, I would be whole. She began to push her way through the crowd. If I could just touch him, I would be whole. I'm talking about a persistence. Hallelujah. I said, a determination. I'm going to take my need to Jesus. The Bible says she came in the press behind. Why did she come from behind? I suppose one answer is that she's aware of her unclean condition and she dared not face Jesus face to face. Therefore, she came behind and said, I won't touch him. I'm unclean, but I'll just touch his garment. And that's very, very really probably the case. But I think there's another thing here. I think what's going on also is Jesus is walking right on the way to Jairus' house. So he's progressing down the street. And she's weakened, finding her way through the crowd. But Jesus is getting away from her. He's going on. And I believe the reason she touched the hem was just the hem. I believe he's taking a step to move further down the road. He's getting out on down the road, and she makes a final lunge. This is my imagination, okay? This is not Bible. But she made a final lunge, and on the way down, as she fell to the street, her fingers, as Jesus was walking, just grazed the hem of his garment. But that's all it took, because she acted in faith. I'm telling you, there's never been a person that's made a true effort to take their need to Jesus that was disappointed. Amen. She came from behind and touched him. I've told this a few times over the years, and permit me to tell it one more time, but I was preaching this story years ago. I believe I was still a single evangelist then in the Tulsa area, and I was in a church, and they had two metal poles that were helping to hold up the building, one right here and one right here, and I think it was this one. And I began to act like that pole was Jesus. And I was the lady with the issue of blood. There's only one problem back then. We still had corded mics. And I went through that describing in depth, more depth than I just did, about her touching Jesus. And I talked about that final lunge, and I lunged, and I grabbed that pole like that. And when I did, it shorted that mic out. And I was going like this. And I couldn't get loose. And the people jumped up and shouted. And I had one thought. They're going to shout while I die. It makes a difference when you make contact. I want to tell you, faith will make contact. Come on, church. Let's have church while we're here, all right? I said faith will make contact. And I want to make something very clear this morning. It was not the garment that healed. It was the person of Jesus in the garment. It was not her touch that healed. It was her faith in the touch. Glory to God. Amen. We have prayer cloth. It isn't that prayer cloth that does anything. It's the faith in Jesus Christ illustrated by praying over that thing. Amen. It's not walking down the aisle that'll save you. It's believing as you come down the aisle that he is Savior. And whosoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. It's the faith in him. What was Jesus' response? That's what we're after. I believe being God as well as man, Jesus had to have known of this woman when she was yet in her house, lying ill in her bed. Don't you believe he knew that, being God? And so you may ask the question, why didn't Jesus just go to her house and heal her? He made her get out of bed. We can stream messages. We can't stream miracles. prayer. And I want to tell you, Jesus could have done that. He could have went to her house. Why didn't he? Before we're too hard on him for not going to her house, let's remember something. He came all the way from glory. He came to her town. He walked down her street and passed her house. All he asked is that she take the rest of the distance. Why? To show her faith. And I want to tell you, we have needs, but let's not forget it. Jesus has came all the way from glory. He's came to our town. He walks down our street by our soul. He's just waiting for us to take the action of faith and reach out. Aren't you glad he's positioned himself that you can touch him if you want to? He's not a distant God. He's not far from any one of us. Oh, come on. Let's have church while we're at church. I said he's not far from any one of us. You got a need. He has positioned himself where you can touch him. Amen. You say, and I understand that. I understand coming to an altar is a tradition, and all of that, walking the aisle, that's a tradition. But there is something about expressing the faith. There's something about that act as being a response to who Jesus is. And I'm telling you, if Jesus begins to touch our soul, some folks will say, I'll just stay right here in my pew and get the touch, or I'll stay in my pew and I'll get saved there. And he's able to do all those things. But if he came all the way from glory, if he's come to your town, if he's walked down your street, even if he's passed your soul, could you at least walk the aisle to the altar as an act of faith and say, I want Jesus in my life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, Jesus. Let's read about it. Verse 29, she touched him, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now another thing, Jesus being God had to have known, even though he wasn't looking back. He never had to look back being God, knowing that lady was working her way through the crowd. Don't you believe that? Being God, he knew that lady was working through the crowd. He knew that his steps were causing her to exert and reach forth. Amen. He knew who it was, being God, that touched him. And being knowing that, when she touched the hem of his garment, he could have withheld his power. But I want to tell you, he did not withhold his power. But when she touched the hem of his garment, he released his power to her faith and to her touch. Oh, glory to God. He knew who it was. I'm telling you, when you come, if you would come, he knows who's coming. He knows your name. He knows your problem. He knows your past sins. He knows the complexities of your life. He knows that. But if you'd reach out by faith, he will not withhold his power. He will release it to your faith. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. I'm sure that many others did that day, but think logically and reasonably. One could have touched the hem of the garment of a person and the wearer not know that they had been touched. Isn't that true? Someone could be standing behind me and touch the hem of my suit jacket and I not even know it. Amen. Jesus being a man, if he were just a man, she could have touched the hem of his garment and he would have never known it. But he wasn't just man. He was the Son of God. And besides all of that, being God, he knew this touch was different. Hallelujah. This was a touch of faith, of need, of desperation, of an effort. Hallelujah. God knows. He knows that. And so he stops and he turns around and says, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? I just want you to know, hear me, please, all over the building. Amen. There are different kinds of touches. That day, there were the touches from the disciples, patting Jesus on the back, steering him around something. There was a touch of a friend. There was a crowd gathered around. Many of them touched him. Little kids touched him and all of that. But there was a difference in her touch. It was a need with faith reaching. He knew the difference of touch. We can lift up our hands in lots of different ways. We can lift up our hands hands in worship, in routine and ritual. Amen. We can lift up our hands, amen, to throw people off the scent that we're not doing very good. We can lift up our hands for a lot of different reasons. We can lift up our hands in despair. But why don't you do like the lady and say, I'm going to lift up my hands in faith. Hallelujah. I said, I'm going to lift up my hands in faith. He knows the difference. I said, he knows the difference. Amen. Thank God we want everybody to come to the altar. You can come to the altar for a lot of different reasons, a lot of different motives, but he knows the difference. When somebody starts walking down the aisle with a need, but faith in their heart, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He knows the difference of the touch. And he responded. Let's look at the results of Jesus' response. Verse 29, and straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. His healing virtue immediately and completely and fully ended that lady's hemorrhaging like that. Remember, physicians couldn't do it in 12 years. But immediately, the blood stops. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I don't believe the blood just stopped. But I believe the strength and the health and vitality came back into her life. I believe the scripture doesn't tell us, but I believe not only did Jesus stop the flow of blood, he replaced the lost blood. Isn't that just like our Lord? I want you to notice one little thing. She felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. You say, Pastor, I hear you tell all the time we can't go by our feelings. Our emotions are fickle things. I'm still saying that because that's talking about our emotions. But that does not take away that she felt in her body. That means it was a real thing. It was not imagined. It was not supposed. There was a real power. That's not your emotions. That's the senses of your heart and body and life. In other words, it's real. I said, it's real. I said, it's real. You can't go on your emotions. But I'm telling you, when God touches you, you're going to know it. Hallelujah. His touch is real. How many has found his power is real? How remembers when his power entered into your life? Didn't it stop a lot of things? Didn't he put a lot of things in what you had lost? Hallelujah. She felt in her body. It was immediate. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who toucheth me? You know, listen, you can hear it a little bit in the disciples' tone. The disciples thought it unreasonable that Jesus would ask such a question. What do you mean, Jesus? That don't make sense. In other words, really, their tone a little bit was, that's silly. That's silly to ask who touched you. You got people on every side pressing in, touching you. And to ask who touched me, that's unreasonable. But you see, they were only taking into account what they could see on the outside surface of things and of people. Jesus wasn't talking about something that happened on the outside. He's talking about something that happened unseen on the inside. Don't go by what you see on the outside. You may think this morning nothing much is happening here if you go on the outside, but you don't know what God's doing in the heart. You don't know who's reaching out by faith right now to touch him. Glory to God. It wasn't a silly question. Jesus knew this touch. It was different. It was different. Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Hallelujah. He's looking around. Why did he single her out? Why didn't he just let her go home healed? Why? You ever think about that? Why embarrass the poor lady? Just let her go on home. Don't single her out. He already really knew who it was. Oh, but the crowd didn't know who it was. I said, Jesus knew, being God, Jesus knew, but the crowd didn't know who it was. Why did he sing her out? Because somebody needed to hear her testimony. If he hadn't singled her out, amen, nobody would that day would have heard her test. Somebody else needed to know, whatever your need, however hopeless, however helpless, however it hurts, if you'd put faith in Jesus Christ and reach out to him by faith, amen, there is a power that he would release into your life. You know what he was doing? He's given her an opportunity to testify the goodness and the power and the might. Who did this thing? Lady, this is your chance. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Not only would the people that day, but think, if Jesus had not singled her out, we would not have this story in the Bible to encourage us. How many could say at some point in knowing Jesus, the story of this lady's persistence has encouraged your heart to reach out to Jesus? Have you ever been, young people, have you ever been encouraged by this story? Just even though you didn't feel like it, you were so weak, have you ever been encouraged just to reach out to Jesus? Touch him. So I'm glad he singled her out. I said, I'm glad he singled her out. Amen. Look at verse 33. And she was fearful. The woman fearing and trembling, knowing. You can't get saved and not know it. The woman fearing and trembling, knowing that it was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Why was she fearing and trembling? Well, first of all, Jesus did call her out. How many, if I ask you right now, to testify fear had hit you? Come on, be honest. Come on, come on. Nobody's going to be fearful, so we'll start it right here. I mean, wouldn't if you had to turn around and face the crowd right now and have everybody look at you, wouldn't that put a little fear in you? I'm sure that some of it, she was fearful of that. But I think also it was that she knew she was unclean or had been unclean. And she knew what the law said about being in a crowd. And she knew what the law said about touching a man, especially if you was unclean and especially if you was a woman. And she had just touched a holy man, the prophet. She doesn't know how that's going to go. What's Jesus going to say about her being unclean, touching him? But I think there was another reason she was fearful. It might have been all those things, Brother Rich, but I think there's another thing. She had just experienced the power of God. I'm telling you, when you really are in the power of God, the joking goes like that. When you recognize how powerful it is, it's not that you're scared of him, but he's so awesome. He's so powerful. There's nothing like this. That's why I'm sorry. You can say I'm judgmental. But when I see supposedly a move of God and the preacher and everybody's acting light and frivolous and joking and silly, I don't believe it's the power of God one little bit. I read in the scripture when the power of God was manifested, people fell on their faces in fear and in trembling. What power is this? You can laugh and joke and be frivolous about man's antics and man's talents and things, but I'm telling you, when God moves, he is God. This flesh trembleth in his presence. Amen. The psalmist said, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I'm afraid of thy judgments. Amen. You read in the Bible, if they just saw an angel, they begin to tremble at the holy presence of even an angel. Oh, when you know the power of God, amen, it's no joking matter. It's a time for awe. I'm not talking about sad and sour. I'm talking about an awe-stricken respect of the power of God. She was trembling. Amen. Amen. Verse 34, and he said unto her, she thinks she's about to get it, but he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Did you catch it? Did you catch what did he call her? daughter. I tell you another reason he called her out. He wanted to affirm what had happened in her and affirm that with that touch, not only had her body been made whole, but she had become a child of God. Hallelujah. Oh, look at the tenderness. Even you may be afraid of coming to God. He's not going to meet you with a stern look and be angry at you and treat you ill. If you'll come to him in faith, believing, you might be the wickedest of sinners. But if you'd come to him, hallelujah, with faith, and you know what would happen? As he sees you coming, he'd say, daughter, son, welcome into my family. Aren't you glad we have that kind of God? Hallelujah. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Be happy. Be whole of thy plague. How reassuring. But I want you to know, faith did it. Faith in him. Faith that came from when she heard about him. And faith released the power of God. She could have touched him without faith, and there'd been no healing. There'd been no change. There'd been no release of power. But I want you to get this. Faith. I said faith that takes action. Faith is the conductor of God's power. Why, among so many, was she the only one that touched him, though others were touching him? Why was she the only one that got healed? Because she had faith. Let me tell you one more time. Faith is a conductor of the power of God. He responds to the touch of faith. Hallelujah. If you work with electricity, you know something about being a conductor, something being a conductor. I have something here. It's plastic pipe. Even there's an outlet right here. Brother Rose, you're an electrician. There's an outlet right here. If those two walls wires were bare, amen, and the breaker is on, if I touch both of those wires with this, both of them, the hot and the neutral, if I touch it with this and I stay on this end of it, am I going to feel anything? Is it going to affect me? This is plastic. Am I going to be shocked? No, it won't conduct electricity. Amen. Let me try something else. I have a wooden dowel, a rod here, right here. I got those bare wires. I come over here. I touch those bare wires with this wooden rod. Amen. Am I going to feel anything? Am I going to have any effects in my body? Amen. Is it going to do anything to me? No, because wood isn't a conductor. Amen. But I've got a piece of metal conduit right here. I got two bare wires. I got a hold of this end. What's going to happen? Would you shout as I died? Amen. What's going to happen if I touch the two wires? I'm telling you, I'm going to feel it, Brother John. It's going to affect me. Why? This is a conductor of electricity. I'm telling you, you can come with the wrong motives to the Lord just to solve your problems and not serve him, but you're just touching him with a wooden rod. No wonder nothing happens in your life. You can come for personal reasons and other reasons, to make a show of things or to make people think you're all right. You can keep touching him like that and it'll never have an effect. You'll leave here like you came. But if you'll come with faith, if you'll come with faith believing, hallelujah, if you'll touch him, amen, something's going to happen. Jesus is going to respond. There'll be an effect in your life. Could you praise him as the music comes? Hallelujah. Those are amens from the internet coming. I forgot to turn my phone off. That beep beep was amen. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to touch him by faith? I've told this before, very personal thing. And that's what we're supposed to do when the Lord works in our lives. We're to tell it with every opportunity. But you'll remember 13 years ago, we went through that. Right around Thanksgiving time, it started. We went through that 6 weeks with Hannah in and out of the hospital, her rolling around on the floor at night in pain, couldn't sleep day or night, hollering out in pain. She got to the place she prayed, Daddy, just pray I'll go to heaven. I can't take this any longer. Had surgery. One of the trips to the hospital, had surgery to work on her intestines and that the disease had got a hold of. I give you the long version of the story. In one night, you'd be unbelievable what happened in the span of just a few hours. I'll make it real short. The older kids are throwing up with the flu. I go out to get to some Christmas presents, get hit by a drunk driver and total my car. And while I'm sitting there with the cop, Sandra calls and says, Hannah is bleeding profusely. She was hemorrhaging out of her body. She got someone to take him to the hospital. I believe it might have been Margie, I think. I don't remember that part of it. She was there when I got there. I kept telling the cop, I got to get out of here. My daughter's, they're taking her to the hospital. I got there, and it was bad. Blood, they kept giving her dose after dose of morphine and other things. It wouldn't touch the pain. They're getting ready to put her in ICU. And the doctor said, before we move up to ICU, could I pray for her? He did. They got her to ICU. They could not get the pain under control. And so they gave her the same medicine they give him to knock him out for surgery. So she's knocked out. When she's knocked out, Sandra had to go take care of the other kids. And I'm sitting beside her bed there in ICU. Her eyes are closed. I forget how many hours it passed. Hour, 2 hours, I don't know, maybe three. I can't remember that. But all of a sudden, I noticed her eyes were still shut, but I noticed her lips were moving. I couldn't hear what she was saying, so I got up and I put my ear right down to her lips. And she was singing, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch some part of his robe. That was the last trip to the hospital. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows it's different when you touch him in faith? Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How many has a need you want to touch the Lord by faith with? I want you to come right now and stand. No need to hesitate. Come, you got a need you want to touch the Lord by faith with. Would you come and stand and lift your heart and hands and say, I need to touch the Lord this morning. You say, I don't know the Lord. You come. We'll pray with you. You can touch him by faith. You say, my sins, amen, they can't be forgiven. Touch him by faith. Would you come? Lift up your hearts and hands to the Lord. Amen. Others, you got a need. Bring it to the Lord. Amen. You say, well, I don't feel anything. You know, sometimes faith isn't a feeling. It's choosing to believe. Believe he's the mighty one. Believe he has all power in heaven and earth. Believe that he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. Amen. I think if you'd start believing him, you'd start feeling it too. You've got a great need you'd like to bring to the Lord. Would you come? Join these that are coming. Just come and stand. Lift your hands towards heaven. Amen. Amen. Don't think nothing's going to happen this morning. It won't if you think that. But believe the Lord. Amen. I'm not talking about faith as a force. I'm not talking about faith as any of that hocus pocus. I'm talking about trusting him and believing he is who he said he was. Believing that he, whosoever comes to him, amen, he will receive. Would you reach out to him by faith? Amen. There's many, many that's come. Anybody else like to come and join these? Oh, hallelujah. 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 All right, church, come in behind these and help pray. Amen. Don't be a part of the crowd that kept the woman from coming. Be a part of the crowd that encouraged. Make a way to Jesus. As many as would, come in as close as you can. Lay hands on these and believe. And you that have come, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. He's come all the way from heaven. Hallelujah. He came to your town. He's walking down your street past your heart. Reach out by faith and touch him. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Touch him by faith. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Amen. You're not excluded. Amen. Don't say I'm unclean. Amen. That lady was considered unclean, but she came to Jesus. She brought her need to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Reach out and touch the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Touch him. Touch the Lord. Oh, come on, let's touch him this morning. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I believe you are. It's not about who I am. It's not about my hang-ups, my holdouts. It's about who you are, Lord. You are the Son of the Most High. You are the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. You say, I don't feel a thing. Reach out to him. Hallelujah. Reach out. He is Jesus. He is healer. He is deliverer. Hallelujah. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Lord, move with your power around here. with your power, Lord, those that are reaching out by faith, Lord, that you would touch them. Oh, it's not about who I am. It's about who you are. You are Master. You are Lord. You are the Son of God. You are God in the flesh. You are Jesus. You are the Eternal One. You are the All-Powerful One. You're the one that came that we could be healed. You came that we might be saved. You came that we might be delivered. Hallelujah. Just an if, it's you can.
Oh,
hallelujah.
If I could,
you can touch him. Hallelujah. Touch him by
faith.
Don't listen to the voice of doubt. Talk
if
back
I
to the enemy. Submit to God. I believe Jesus. I believe his word. I believe his truth. I believe who he is. He knows the difference in the touch. He knows the difference in the touch. Him. It's faith that reaches out. It's faith that lays hold.